So folks have said to me over the years that I preach like a Baptist minister. So I thought today I would like to look like one. So over the last 3 or 4 weeks, we have been listening to Luke's gospel, right the centerpiece of his gospel. And on that first Sunday some weeks ago, we took up chapter 15, and it was the parable of the mercy of our God, the lost coin, the one sheep that was lost, the son, the prodigal son who comes back. And in that reading, it spoke about the incredible mercy and love of our God. And the scriptures suggest to us, Luke suggests to us, we've got to do the same. When people have offended us, when people have hurt us, when things have gone wrong for us, we must be like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who imitates his Father. And his Father never, never, never tires of forgiving us. That's that chapter of 15. Then in chapter 16, I know you remember all this because you're attentive to his word. We talked about the wily manager. He's in trouble with his boss. He goes out and he chisels, creates some better deals that people don't have to pay his boss back the whole amount. And he does it because he knows he's going to get fired. And when he gets fired, he wants to make some friends so that when he goes looking for some help or work or support, he's going to be able to say, well, hey, I gave you a pretty good deal on that loan that you had. And they're going to take him in. Our God says in this scripture, we have to have the same attention for our spiritual journey. Just as sharp and insightful as this man was in financial matters, we've got to do the same. We have to be on our toes. We have to be looking for ways to live a better spiritual journey. And so, as attentive as we are to all the mundane things of this world, how attentive are we in our spiritual journey? And then last week we spoke about Lazarus. Very good, Mary. Thank you. We talked about the poor man out there in the street, and this wealthy guy is living on the fat of the land, and he goes ultimately to his death. And when he dies, he's in Sheol. He's in hell. And he's saying to himself, how could this be? He looks up and there is that poor man that was outside his door. He knew his name, by the way. He calls him, Lazarus, come down, give me a little water, and then go to my brothers. I don't want them to have the same fate. I don't want to have them live so foolishly that they forget about the poor, that they forget about people who have less, that they forget about the people that are out on the edges of life. Because if we do that, we too will be condemned. So those are the three Sundays of reflection. Now this Sunday, it begins with this phrase. The apostle said to the Lord, increase my faith. But what it doesn't say is that in the little paragraph before that, our Lord says to those same people, you cannot trample on the weak. If you take people who are less than you and you use them and trample on them and misuse them and scandalize them and hurt them, you will be condemned. That's something that lots of people do. We all probably take advantage of people in our lives. And then he says, if there has some problem in your family, if there's some rupture in your relationships, if someone has hurt you or spoken ill of you or mismanaged you or done something wrong, you must forgive them. You must forgive them from your heart. So no wonder when we get to this section of John 17, the apostles are saying, oh my God, trampling on people, I do it. Forgiving people, I find it very difficult. Increase my faith, they say to Jesus. But Jesus' response is very unusual. He says to them, you don't need an increase of faith. He said, if your faith is the size of a mustard seed. You ever see what mustard seed? You need about 40 or 50 mustard seeds just to see it in your hand, because they're the tiniest little speck. You can hardly see it. And he said, if you have a faith the size of a mustard seed, you will have enough. You don't need more. You need to take what you have and be attentive to that. I don't know what you make of it. But here's another Baptist minister, a much better Baptist minister than me, Rick Warren. This is what he says. This is not a marketing principle. It's a basic teaching of the New Testament. Jesus told it in a parable of the sower. When you sow seed, some of it falls on rocky ground, some on stony ground, some on hard ground, and some on good soil. Wouldn't it be great if we knew what the good soil was and sowed our seed only there? What waste to seed, time, effort, energy, or money when we sow our seed on rocky ground. Listen to this. It's God's job to prepare the soil. It's our job to sow the seed. So God prepares the soil, we sow the seed. You don't do the soil preparation. God uses all kinds of sovereign things, like divorce, infidelity, crises, death, economic problems, government shutdowns, being out of work, a new baby, a new job. He uses all those experiences of our life to prepare the soil. But God uses you to sow. The fact is, receptiveness to the gospel varies widely at different times in people's lives. Sometimes people are very open to the gospel, and sometimes they're very closed. Receptivity doesn't last forever. And Jesus knew that. And so he says, go to the people who will listen. Go to the people who will listen. So this is what strikes me about that increase of faith and the mustard seed. What I think Jesus says today, who am I to say? What I think Jesus says to us today is this. Every one of us has enough, even if it's the size of a mustard seed. We, you and I, have enough inside us. Why do we have enough? Because it's not all about us. You see, the soil is not ours to do. God creates the soil. He gives it the ground. He gives it the worth. We just plant the seed. If we believed it was all up to us to forgive people, if we believed it was all up to us to live a better life, if we believed it was all up to us to rid ourselves of our addictions or manage our addictions, if we believed that it was up to us to live faithfully in a marriage or in a relationship, if we believed that we could forgive our families for things that have happened, it wouldn't be enough. But that's not the teaching. The teaching is we do the seed, but God does the soil. So whatever we do, we show up. We say the words. We do our best by planting the seed, but God gives the increase. We don't give the increase. God gives the increase. Does that make sense? So we don't have to worry about the fact that we're not enough. We are enough. Every one of us are enough. Why are we enough? Because God gives the increase. He tills the soil. He makes things happen way beyond us. Miracles happen in our lives just because we say some word and we say, how could this be? It can be because God is the increase. He is the one that prepares hearts. This week, my brothers and sisters, once again, that great man, Francis, our Pope. Every week there's something. This week he spoke before an atheist commentator who writes for an Italian paper, La Repubblica. Picked up the phone and said, let's have an interview. Holy Father did that. And he said a lot of things in there. But the one thing I just really paid attention to, talks so much about the poor. He talks about care that we must give to each other. He talks about the ability in our lives to live faithfully, even though it's oftentimes it seems impossible. But this is what he said. He said the Second Vatican Council, what, 50 years ago? The Second Vatican Council happened. He said that's irreversible, even though it sounds over the last few years like it was pretty reversible. But he says it's irreversible. And while we were challenged to do many things in that Second Vatican Council, to renew our church, to embrace people who were atheist and separated and distant, and to come to an understanding and appreciation of all lives of faith, he said, even though we have failed in that over these years, I have the humility and the will, he said, to do it. Now that doesn't sound like an arrogant man to me. It sounds just like this gospel. A man who's willing to show up. A man who's willing to give the good word. A man who's willing to plant the seed, knowing that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will give the increase. And it will happen by our little effort and God's incredible plan. So be of good faith, my brothers and sisters. Read this word, this holy word of our God. It is an inspired word. It is a word that will fill our days with hope and will bring to us a new courage and a new life, not depending on you or me, but depending on this incredible love of our God. And yes, miracles every day.